I want to begin reading this morning in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And will you look with me, please, at beginning in verse number 19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here he's talking about us, and we're going into something in regard to love. I'm going to tell you, joy and singing ought to play a part in your home. Now, sometimes our singing is not the best in the world. Some of the ladies, I try to get everybody to recruit the choir. Boy, didn't the choir look good this morning? And I've had men and women tell me, you don't want me preaching in that choir. If I get in that choir, everybody will leave. But the truth of the matter is that joyous heart is the key. And he said, you sing and you make melody in your heart unto the Lord. Now, sometimes it's in my heart. It comes out of my mouth a little different, but it's in my heart. But it's that idea of having a happy home, having a happy life. And the Lord brought us up out of a horrible pit. He set our feet on a solid rock. He put a new song in our heart. I tell you, you take yourself too serious sometimes. And you take other people too serious. I'm going to tell you, I've noticed this, that people who have that joyous heart and the love of the Lord. I went yesterday, Regina and I, to the funeral of a good friend of mine, Joyner Taylor. And he's a barber there in Dunn. He just really was a man. He kind of uplifted everybody's all the time, cutting up about things and everything. And you know what his job was in the church? He was a greeter. He the main door, he was there ever since Brother Tom Wagner's been there, just greeting people, made them feel good and everything else. And he just did that. You know how many people was at his funeral yesterday? I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 people at that man's funeral. And different ones testified of the church staff and everything about how he just always had some, he always made them feel good. And to love the Lord, and he was kind, and he would go out of his way to help people, but he had that joyous spirit. Nobody wants to be around a grouch. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, well, I'm happy. Well, tell your face that, amen. And that's what Brad, I wish you could stand up here in Brad's place on Sunday morning, but sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord. And then he said, and be thankful. You know what happens in a home and in lives? People get where they don't appreciate the blessings of God. They don't appreciate their wife. They don't appreciate their husband. They don't thank God for their children. And everything gets to be a burden and a drudgery. But he said you ought to give thanks unto the Lord. Be thankful. But now let's get to down to verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now here he begins this discussion. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, he's talking about the church as a whole, but he's going to get very specific about that. We are to submit ourselves one to another. Another passage of Scripture, he said this, we ought to prefer one another. What's that mean? It means that your happiness is more important than my happiness. Your needs are more important than my needs. I'm interested in you being happy. I'm interested in you having joy. And I tell you, when a family operates that way, it's a blessing. And when you prefer one another, when you submit one to another, notice what it says further. He said this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, that's kind of in this modern age, 2015, after the Women Live movement and all that business, that kind of rubs people the wrong way. Well, it's kind of like old Homer Smith, old preacher friend of mine, was preaching one time. It's pretty rough. And he went out and somebody said, preacher, you rubbed the fur the wrong way this morning. He said they need to turn the cat around and it'll be all right. And the thing is, and here it is, if you want to be happy, obey the Bible. If you want to have a broken home, a divorce, and live in misery the rest of your life, you do what you think's right. You look at it. Listen to what Brad's talking. Well, what an awesome thing. If I could use the word proud, I'm so blessed and proud of Brother Brad and his heart to try to help young people. He's done a fantastic job now, but now it's increased. I hope you understand that. His ministry now has gotten larger. He's doing this at Burnell last week and around and had 20, on a Thursday night, 20 last week, I believe he said 22 teenagers and 20 or so this past week night, who came on a Thursday night to know what the Bible said about being pure. Living your life in purity. and before marriage. What a blessing that is. I pray God to put it in their heart and help them with that. But now he said you're to submit yourself. And wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Does that mean that you're like a doormat? No, because there's more to it than that. But it means that you learn to be submissive. That means that you learn to prefer. You are there and to live that life. I'm not going to go into a lot of practical things I was going to talk about. That's not where I'm going. And I got to hurry up. But notice what it said. Here's the next part of this discussion. Wives, now husbands. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, you say, Brother Billy, if he'd do that, I'd do the other. If you do the other, he might do that. Say amen right there. He speaks about that woman's submission, but then he talks about the husband loving the Lord. Be submissive. Be submissive. Old Brother Mays Jackson was preaching one time, and he's telling this lady, and she's having problems at home. Her husband, boy, she was just giving him down the country, and he was this, that, and the other, and everything. And he said, well, honey, I said, listen now, you need to go home and love him. Love him. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, if you'll love him, you'll heap coals of fire upon his head. She said, well, I'll try it, because scalding water didn't help. But... hey, love one another. And he said this, husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church. Now, here's a little phrase in here. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, in various forms, he tells us in the beginning of this chapter and throughout this chapter, that little phrase, he said this, you're to love, husbands, love your wives, and on the other occasions, different ones to do the same thing, even as Christ also loved. So if you could put it this way, love as Christ loved. Love as Christ loved. That's what he's saying to us. You love as Christ loved. And he said this, he loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, at first reading of this passage of Scripture, you say he's talking about husband-wife relationship, and he is. But in this, he says, I'm talking about a great mystery. He's talking about that relationship between Christ and his church, and that is between Christ and you. You are the church individually. Every lady, every man, every boy, every girl who's saved here, you're part of that bride of Christ. And he's talking about the relationship that we have with him, even as Christ loved us. And there he said this in the last phrase, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And wives, see that you reverence your husband. Will you bow with me for just a brief word of prayer? Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost, Lord God, would speak to me and through me this morning. Lord, I've sensed your presence from the very beginning this morning. The congregational singing, the great songs of the choir sang. Lord, we do magnify your name. We worship you and love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Lord touching Brother Dan this morning. Thank you for his life. God, how you've ministered grace to him. And Lord, you speak through him and magnified yourself this morning, the bright and morning star. Thank you, Lord, for touching Brother Brad, Miss Pansy, and Lord, this morning, and Jason, who played, Lord, this morning, and for all the instruments. And God, I want to thank you, God, that you love us. Now, Lord, Lord, if you could just speak one word to us, if you get one truth in our heart this morning and help us to live it and apply it, our Father, It'd be, Lord, give you glory. It'd be for our good. And I pray, God, you'd do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm conscious of the time. I'm not going to rush. I'm going to be quick. How's that? Amen. Watch this. Even as Christ loved the church. We're to love even as Christ. Husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And you and I are to love one another as Christ loved. Love is Christ's love. I wrote down a few things. What an awesome Sunday devotion we had yesterday morning, Bible study from Brother Mitch, and it was a blessing to my heart. But in this passage of Scripture, if you have a Schofield Bible, Dr. Schofield points out what's very evident here in the Scriptures. And he said this. He said there's a threefold of love of Christ manifest here in regard to the church. And I phrased a little bit differently than he did. In the immediate past, he loved us. In the present, he loved us. And in the eternal future. But he also loved us in the eternity past as well. He loved us before the foundation of the world. But here in this passage of Scripture, he's talking about what I consider to be the immediate past. And it is, look at it, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. That's past tense. He gave his life for us to purchase us. He bought us with a price. He paid for us. In a sermon I preach, I tell the story of the 10-cow bride, and it always blesses me as I think about a good friend of mine, Brother Pickles, down in Florida, gave me a Reader's Digest one time. I said, "Preacher, read this." He said, "You'll use it somewhere," and I have. I really have. The story is told of a man who traveled to some tropical island, and while he was on the island, he kept hearing people say, 10 cow, 10 cow, 10 cow, and laugh. And he asked them about it, and they said, "There's a man, we call him 10 cow." And he went down and he said, "What do you mean?" He said, he gave 10 cows. On our island, we buy our wives with cows. And he paid 10 cows. Nobody ever paid 10 cows. Most ever been paid is 5 cows. He paid 10 cows. Everybody just laughed. And they said, "Go to his house. Go ask him." So he went to the house and he knocked on the door and he said, just a relatively, you know, just a common looking woman, not especially attractive, came to the door. And allowed him to come in. And when she allowed him in, he greeted them. And the man almost apologized for being there. He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "But I kept hearing him say 10 cow." And the man says, "Perfectly all right." He said, "I have visitors every day. 10 cow. I'm 10 cow. And as he began to unfold the story, the man said, "Our custom on our island is we do a dowry. We pay for our wives with cows." Then he said, "The most ever been paid on our island was 5 cows. My wife, I loved her, and I wanted to marry her. Her daddy said 3 cows. Her mother said 4 cows. The men of the village said she's not worth 2 cows. But I did not pay for her what her daddy thought she was worth. I didn't pay for her what her mama thought she was worth. I did not pay for her what my friends thought she was worth. I paid for her what I thought she was worth, 10 cows. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He did not pay for you what your mama thought you was worth, or your daddy, or the world, or the devil. He paid for you what he thought you were worth, and he gave his only son for you. Thank God for that. He purchased us. He died for us on the cross, and thank God for that. He loved you that much. But notice, he's not only loved us in the past, he loves us in the present. And he said in this passage of Scripture, in verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You see, he's not going to start doing those things in your life until you belong to him. He bought you, and he begins to work. He will not mold the clay until he owns the clay. Until you've been born again by the grace of God, he will not fashion you or form you or cleanse you. But once you're his, because of his love for us, he begins to work in our heart. And Brother Mitchell yesterday was talking about our growth in love, our going to a higher plane in love. And as he works on us, our love for him grows. Our faith in him grows. Our knowledge of him grows. And that's what he's doing for us now. He's working in our lives. And then further, not only in the present is he working on us, but in the future. Notice verse 27. And it said this, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, listen, he's working on us now. You look at me and I look at you and I think, how in the world can I know me? You don't really know me. My wife knows me and to a certain extent, but how is it that one of these days we'll stand in His presence without spot or wrinkle, and we'll be holy and without any blame. That's His purpose. And He's going to accomplish all that. Why? Because He loved us. He loved us. And the Bible said we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another that way. Husbands ought to love their wives that way. Let me just repeat a few things that you already know. We have quoted over and over again this passage of Scripture that He loved us before we ever loved Him. He loved us before we ever loved Him. And my dear friend, as you consider life's mate, that ought to be real. It is God's perfect will, and that you love them with all of your heart. Love them with all of your heart. And He loved us before the foundation of the world, and He loved us before we ever loved Him. Listen, He did not love us for our beauty. Now, my mama was all the time when I was growing up, and thank God the Lord sent Regina. I tell her every Sunday morning, and Terry and Perry and Gary, I don't ever tell her until I put her out behind the building here, and she's getting ready to come into Sunday school class, and I say, you're mighty pretty this morning. And she told me this morning, she said, why don't you ever tell me until we get here to church on Sunday morning? Now, she knows I say that through the week, but she's on that on Sunday while I wait till I get to church. Don't tell her. Hi. And she knows what it is. When Brother G.P. Benson was living, he kept something going all the time. He tickled me to death. We had me and it was just something. He was G.P. was something else. But old G.P., he'd come down here on Sunday morning, almost every Sunday morning, Perry, and he'd look at Miss Regina. He said, you sure are mighty pretty this morning. I know Billy's already told you over and over again how pretty you are, but I thought I just kind of ran. I know he told you how pretty you are. And I said, go back down and sit down, behave yourself. mind that. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ did not love us because we're pretty. My mama, there's a certain woman, I don't girl, when I was a young boy, a young man, I guess I was a teenager, she wanted me to date a certain person. And she was not really pretty. I mean, she didn't just... Kenny Dishman said, his mama said, Kenny, don't you never tell a woman or a young lady that she's ugly. And he said he dated this girl one time, and he looked at her, and he said, honey, you just barely are pretty. Now, that wasn't the case with Regina, but this woman, my daddy told me, my mom was trying to get me to date. She just barely was pretty, if you know what I'm talking about. And she said, but Billy, she's got such a good personality. I said, Mama, I don't want to kiss her personality. But do you know that Jesus did not love us because of our beauty? Did you know that? The Bible says in that while we were yet sinners, He loved us. We're not very attractive. Matter of fact, the Bible said we were a stench in the nostrils of God. All of our righteousness was as filthy rags. And He describes it in the book of Isaiah, from the top of our head to the sole of our foot, we were one big sore. That's what a lost person looks like in God's economy. He sees us that way. He does not love us for our beauty. He does not love us for what we do for Him. I want to please Him. I do not want to disappoint Him. But He does not love me because of what I do or don't do. And men, if you love your wife, if you love her, and if you love her, it is an unexplainable truth why you love her. You say, well, I love her because she's got beautiful hair. She's got this, that, and the other. No. And if you really love your wife, you'd say the same thing. My wife is a beautiful lady. And I love her. And we've had a wonderful life together. It's not because of her beauty that I love her. And when you girls look at a guy and you say he's this, that, and the other, tall and handsome, so on, he won't always look that way. And if you love him because he's handsome and he's well-trimmed, his his body will reconfigure itself. And there's some phrases I could use that I can't use in the pulpit to describe that. But although every one of you thinking the same thing, it has to do with our chest and other things, but anyhow. Oh, Vance, having you say there's three stages of hair. What I can't remember all of them now. Oh, I know it's fuzz, is, and was. That's three stages. They won't always have that Elvis hairdo. Well, some of them will, but not all of us. But everybody can't be bald and beautiful. Can the Dallas know? That's right. Amen. Some fellas can handle it. Amen. But you do not love your mate because of their appearance, because of their beauty. He did not love us that way. We love them. God put something in our heart. He loved us. And he does not love us for what we do. I said that. I reiterate that. Somehow or another, in my thinking, I am driven to do things for him. I'm the worst. I pray, and I feel like I'm the worst, sometimes worst servant he's got. And I don't do all that I ought to do. And there's so many things I don't do. And I don't witness like I ought to. And I don't take every opportunity like I ought to. And I don't do all those things. And I feel like sometimes that, you know, and the devil will slip in and you say, he don't love you. But you know what? The Lord does love us. He does not love us because of what we do for him. Or he does not love us less because of what we do not do. I've had people tell me, breaking up, going to separate. And I said, why? Well, you know, she quit cleaning the house up. Was it dirty? Yeah. Were the clothes piled up? Yeah. Why didn't you do it? Say amen, ladies. That's the only chance you're going to get today. I mean, if it needs to be done, won't you do it? Why don't you do those things? You do not love your wife or your husband because of things that they do or do not do for you. Because sometimes they can't do those things. There's some wives who their homes are broken because they start watching somebody else and they see another guy and he's this and that and the other and he's able to buy his wife these things and do these things and all those things. And the devil gets in that and begins to think, why didn't he do all those things for me? Why don't he, you know? But Jesus does not love us for what we do for him or what we do not do for him. He loves us. And if you're going to have a happy home, you're going to learn to love one another, not because of what they do or what they do not do, but you love them. You love them. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and we love like Jesus loved. We are to love him. He loved me, and he loves you. Even when we do not reciprocate or return his love. You know what? People say, well, you know, my mate, they just don't respond. They don't express their love like I want them to. Jesus doesn't love us because we love him. We love him because he loved us. And my dear friend, you express your love and you care one for another. And regardless of how they respond to it, don't become embittered. Don't feel betrayed. You're to love them as Jesus loved us. Jesus loved me since I've been saved when I failed him and when I've sinned against him. He's never loved me less. As I was thinking about this and going through and studying it, I have not pleased him sometimes, but he's never not loved me. Bible said without faith it's impossible to please him. So it's possible that we're not pleasing him, but it's impossible for him not to love us. I don't always please him, but he always loves me. I love that song that Craig Edwards wrote, though I failed the Lord, he's never failed me. And my dear friend, if you live long enough with a man or a woman, if you are married, you're going to fail one another somewhere along the line. In some area, but it must not affect your love for them. Christ has always forgiven me. He's always been kind. He's never brought back up or thrown up my face my failures. If I confess it, he forgives me and cleanses me. I have never approached him in prayer when I felt like he was disinterested. You'd learn a lot there if we could learn to love like he loved. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. Some things, now, understand my heart. I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord for it. I got a letter last night from an elderly lady, not in this church. She's distant. And Ms. Mary knows who I'm talking about. And she wrote to me, a very kind, sweet letter, and she's written to me lots. And Ms. Mary has taken her as a friend and befriends her. But in that, she talked to me. She's an elderly lady, has a lot of problems. And she wrote in the letter, and you're going to want to laugh, but please don't laugh. She said me about all the problems, and she told me about having a problem, an ingrown toenail. And I read that letter last night. I sat there. And I thought, here's a lady who for some reason or other thinks that I care enough to know that she's having a problem with her big toe hurting. In the first place, it blessed me. It blessed me that she would think that I'd care. And I did care. To her, it was important. And sometimes you think he's got so many things to do, cause the sun to rise and set, the tides to go in and out and feed all the birds. He doesn't care about my little hurt or my little pain. But I can tell you, after being a Christian for all these years, I've never once approached him in prayer that he was disinterested in what I had to say. He cares. And men, if your wife, you may not ever have the money to do things you want to do. You may not be able to do this, that, and the other. But if they know you genuinely, really care and love them, my dear friend, what a blessing that he's never, ever been disinterested in my prayers and what I wanted to say. His love has been declared. His love has been demonstrated in my life. He shows it. He declares his love for me in the Word of God. And some time ago, this is some years ago, I guess it was. I'd go through this thing of some, have doubts about this, that, and the other. And the Holy Ghost of God helped me. He said in 1 John, "These things I've written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, you might know that you have eternal life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life." Well, I thought if you believed, you'd know. But did you know there could be a time in your life where he said that you could get to the place where you had even forgotten that you've been purged from your old sin? You can get so confused as a termite and a yo-yo as a Christian. Your emotions get all messed up. Your body chemistry get all messed up. Problems are coming you can't explain. You feel like maybe you failed the Lord and he's forsaken you and all those things. The devil just really wears on you, have all kind of question marks. And then it dawned on me. That's never happened to me when I was reading the Bible. It'd be in some sort of services when somebody else is talking about how good God's been to them and how God's on, you know, this, that, and the other, or somebody's preaching to me and they really kind of, you know, beat you down and make you put you on a guilt trip and everything, and then you begin to have big question marks and all the things. But it dawned on me, I'd never been reading the Word of God and doubted his love. I've never been reading the Word of God and doubted that he cared, or that I was saved, or that heaven was my home. And boy, I had me a spell. You know what I decided to do? I'm not going to listen to nobody but him. When he said I'm saved, I'm saved. When he said I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. And thank God for that. I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm not going to listen to people. I'm not going to listen to me. Because the Bible says the human heart's deceitful. And it is. And the old nature, that old man that Mitch talked about the other day, is still that way. But my dear friend, he's declared it in his word. He loves you. And my dear ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, it is important for you to tell your mate that you love them. Had an old boy one time, an old redneck boy, he passed the home and said, "Boy, you ought to tell your wife you love her." He said, "We've been married 30 years. I told her the day I married her, I loved her, and I ain't changed my mind." You need to tell them. I sure am glad that he's reiterated over and over and over and over again to me over these years through his word that he loves me. Thank God for that. Your love is Jesus' love. You'll tell people you love them. You don't know that one day when you are genuine and real and you speak to your husband or to your wife or to a brother or sister in the Lord and you are genuine, I love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did it mean to them? You don't know what they're going through. But he's demonstrated that love to me. He's shown that love to me over and over again. And I thank God for that. And then the last thing I say to you this morning, he has loved me, and I don't know how to say it, he has determined to love me. He made up his mind he's going to love me. The Bible said he had set his affections on me. He chose to love me. He made up his mind he's going to love me. And he's determined to do that. And I hadn't changed his mind with all of my failure. He still loves me. I hadn't changed a thing. He just determined. And my dear friend, when you have a life's mate, you determine you're going to love them. You're just going to do it. In spite of good times, bad times, sickness, and health, you're going to love them. You're going to love them. Well, I hope God spoke to your heart. It went a little different than I thought it would. I'm not going to keep you long. I want to read something to you. Brother T.G., I hope this is all right. When Gary and Cindy heard that were going to be here, I told them that just prior to my coming in here, I read again. I didn't know they were going to share. But I was looking at some stuff in my desk there, and I found where they had made a covenant together when Gary was diagnosed with what was supposed to have been terminal cancer. And a covenant they made. And I started to bring it, and I said, no, I don't know if that'd be appropriate, and I need to talk to them, and this, that, and they have no idea they were going to testify. I'm going to share that with you sometime if it's okay with them. But basically what it amounts to is this: they made a covenant that regardless of what happened, they were going to love one another. They were going to love the Lord. They were not going to be embittered toward God. They were going to live their life through this illness, whether Gary lived or didn't live. They were not going to speak harshly one to another or say unkind things to one another. They wanted to live their life so that their children could see what Christ could do in that situation. It's long, and I'll share it, but that's basically what it is. This morning, just before service, Brother T.G. gave me a letter to read to you, a thank you card, and there's some pages here. And I wanted to read it to you in its entirety. And I'm finishing my message with this. Brother T.G. Ennis, for those of you who may be in the radio internet audience, he and Miss Eva, very faithful, love God, love the Lord. Brother T.G. was chairman of the building committee who built this building, and it was his expertise over the years that God had equipped him to be able to, I mean, just the right contractors at the right time and everything. And I tell you, he's got a heart to help build the Christian Life Center. But he had the ability to do things that I didn't do, and some of our other men probably had equal qualifications that he. But anyhow, long story short, they love the Lord. Some of you know, who've been here some time know that 10 years ago, maybe a little over 10 years ago now, their son Troy died right behind the old church there on a four-wheeler. And that was just an awesome experience, and God gave them grace. But they loved the Lord. And then Miss Eve was diagnosed with cancer, and she went home to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago now, a few days ago, really. The family of Eva Ennis wants to thank Benson Grove Baptist Church for your ministry during the homegoing of Eva, a ministry that reaches beyond the physical needs of our family you supplied. We are thankful for all your support of food, drinks, desserts, and many other helping hands. God bless you all for them. We're especially thankful for the prayer chain ministry of our church and for the many, many people who prayed for Eva during the years of her sickness. The Bible states in Job 1:22 that the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. James 4:14 states that life as we know it is described as a vapor and vanishes away. Isaiah 65:7 says that the former shall not be remembered or come into mind. In John 14:1-6, Christ has prepared a place for those who know him. Eva was and is part of that saved group who now is experiencing being in the presence of the Lord. Then the last few days I have found many thoughts she left for me because she knew I would need them. One she wrote for me was, "What unspeakable bliss to be face to face with God the Father, who gave us our existence, to sing our praises to God the Savior, who redeemed us by his own life, given atonement, to exalt God the Holy Spirit, who gave us the new birth in holiness and in righteousness. Can any earthly privilege even approach this unspeakable joy?" You see, Eva knows the resurrection and the life giver. She is now in his presence, rejoicing and praising God, waiting for the rapture of the church, which includes me and hopefully each of you. She has no more cancer or pain from the arthritis in her body. Thank God she's alive forevermore. Eva also left me the quote, "In the garden of life, a mother is the most beautiful flower of all." Finally, the family says, "Thank you, church, for all you have done and prayed for me. We are eternally thankful for God allowing us to be part of God's house at Benson Grove Baptist Church." In your brother in Christ, T.G. Ennis, God is good all the time.